John. John 18. I'm sorry. You thought we needed review, right? You probably do need review. But we left off in John chapter 18 at verse 15. And what we have in the verses we're going to consider tonight are the steps to Peter's downfall. It says in verse 15, "And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest, and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, Art not thou also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I am not. And the servants and the officers stood there, who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold. And they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself." As I read this, I thought these are some of the saddest words of Scripture. That one of the boldest, brashest, courageous disciples would deny his Lord. Peter really underestimated his fleshly nature. Jesus had already predicted this, and Peter should have been on guard. In verse 15, we find Peter unwisely following the Lord afar off out of the energy of the flesh. Why do I say that? Well, Jesus had already requested that the disciples be allowed to go their way. Look at verse 8. Jesus answered, "I have told you before, told you that I am He. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way." Peter, it seems to me, really didn't know what to do. He was torn by his emotions. On the one hand, no doubt, he wanted to be near the Lord in this hour of crisis. There was a measure of allegiance to the Lord. But on the other hand, he was not bold enough to proclaim his undying allegiance. He was too ashamed to run away and hide, but too cowardly to stick by the Lord's side. Now it says that another disciple is said to have followed the Lord along with Peter. That disciple is not identified. So anything is really speculation as to who this is, because they're definitely not, their name is not mentioned. Now, some commentators suggest that this disciple was John the Beloved, the writer of the gospel. However, John generally refers to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved throughout this gospel. Another thing that gives me pause to confirm that it's John, I don't know why I said John like that. I hate that sometimes when I get out of my normal vernacular, you know. But it would have been unlikely that John, who was a poor Galilean fisherman, would have been acquainted with the high priest. who was a man of great status in the Jewish religion. And when you compare this to Acts chapter 4 and verse 13, it appears to me that the high priest did not know that it was John. The Bible says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." They didn't recognize him from this with the high priest in Acts chapter 4. They only recognized that he was a disciple of the Lord because of his boldness. So I don't think the high priest was personally acquainted with Peter or John. Now, who this other disciple is, we're not specifically told. It may have been Nicodemus. He was a member of the Sanhedrin. Or it could have been Joseph of Arimathea, who was a wealthy Jew. But there's really no way to be sure. Whoever this disciple of Christ was, he was close enough to the high priest to be allowed into his palace. Now, just for a point of reference, if you like to read in commentaries, John Gill, the Baptist expositor of the 1700s, and A.W. Pink both believe that the disciple in question was not John, but was either Nicodemus or Joseph. J.C. Ryle, who was an Englishman who wrote in the mid to late 1800s, and John MacArthur, who is a contemporary today, both believe that the disciple was John, the apostle and the writer of the gospel. So I'm just telling you that, throwing that out there, and my position is a simple one. It doesn't say who it is. So really, we don't know beyond all shadow of a doubt. Now, while one disciple was allowed entrance into the palace of the high priest, at that time, right then, Peter was locked out. The door had been shut. Could this have been a providential act of God, where the door was shut to allow Peter time to watch and pray so that he might not enter into temptation? I'm looking at this from a human perspective. However, Peter disregarded this providential warning and instead sought admission. And I believe that was his first step of denial. And I agree with A.W. Pink. He said, "But Peter disregards his admonition and knocks for admission. Why else should the other disciple have gone out? There is a practical lesson for us right here. God, in his mercy, put an impediment in Peter's way, stopping him from going on to that which should be the occasion of his sin. So does he oftentimes with us. Therefore, when we find God in his providence placing some barrier in our path, it behooves us to pause and examine well our grounds for going farther along the same path we're in. If our way is warranted by the word and our conscience is clear as to a certain line of duty, then obstacles are to be regarded only as testings of faith and patience. But otherwise, they are warnings from God." I believe that. I believe there are times that God providentially shuts a door. Now, the latter part of verse 16 would seem to contradict that observation, as the other disciple persuaded the woman who kept the door to allow Peter to enter. Peter had clearly disregarded the warning of Jesus Christ. He had persisted in his fleshly course of action. And as a result, God moved his providential barrier and allowed the backslider in heart to be filled with his own ways. Again, providentially, when we're willful, God often allows it by giving us up to our own heart's lust. The Bible says this in Psalm 81 and verse 12. See, I believe strongly in the sovereignty of God, but also believe if you don't do right, God's not going to bless you. If you don't walk in a way that's right, you can't expect God to bless you in your sin. The Bible says this in Psalm 81 in verse 12, "So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels." Well, that is a terrible commentary on willful man. Well, the woman, back to John chapter 18, who was keeping the door, simply asked Peter if he was indeed one of Christ's disciples. She didn't threaten him in any way. And I think it's interesting how God arranged the circumstances in which self-confident Peter was humbled. He didn't have to face the glare of a Roman soldier when first questioned about his relationship with the Lord. Rather, he was asked by a young woman, and he didn't have enough courage to tell the truth. In the face of danger, Peter told a blatant lie. She said, "Are you one of his disciples?" He said, without reservation, "I am not." At the point of crisis, he completely lied and denied the Lord. We're talking about a guy that was saved, that had walked on water for a time. This is a guy who later would be used in a powerful way on the day of Pentecost when 3,000 souls were saved. This is the same man that wrote 1 and 2 Peter. He said, "I am not a disciple." He denied the Lord Jesus. Now, it had only been hours before that brash Peter had proclaimed his unfailing allegiance to Jesus Christ, even offering to die with him, if need be. And now, he can't even confess his relationship to Christ to a basically non-threatening woman. This really struck me. How frail the best and the boldest of God's saints are when they're going their own way. When they know they're not doing right. How prone are we to wander from our Lord unless we diligently obey the admonition to watch and pray? There may be times of real testing ahead in the days to come. Perhaps unlike anything you and I have ever experienced. And in the warmth of a building, in padded pews, we may boldly say, "Lord, I'll die for you." I'm going to serve you to the end. I'll confess you. And I would ask you to check yourself and humbly ask God to give you the grace to stand in a time of crisis. Because it may come. The point I'm making is, if Peter, who walked with the Lord, he heard everything Jesus said. He saw His miracles. I mean, can you imagine being there when the Lord fed 5,000 people with a few fish and loaves of bread? Well, if you were there, you'd think, man, I believe everything He says. I believe everything. If He can do this, He can do anything. Peter saw it all. And here he was. He denied the Lord. Let those who are brimming with self-confidence take heed, lest they fall the same way that Peter did. You know, I often say I pray that God gives me grace. I've been preaching for 40 years. I know, I don't even look like I'm 40 years old, but I've been preaching for 40 years. And my prayer is that God will give me grace to preach till I take my dying breath. To stand for Christ and His Word and His church until I have nothing, no more breath to give. But I always say, Lord willing, Lord, give me grace. Because I know how weak I am. I know how willful and sinful that I can be. After denying the Lord, we find Peter in the company of the Lord's enemies. And again, it just struck me. How sad. He is coming off the teachings of John 13 through 17. Think about that. He had just heard some of the most powerful teaching in all of the Word of God, where Jesus sat with them and talked to them directly. The members of that first church. He had heard it all. He heard Him pray. And he still denied the Lord. He was in the company of the Lord's church, in fellowship with Christ, in fellowship with believers, enjoying the teaching, the preaching, the instruction of the Word of God, the living Word Himself, Jesus Christ. Peter was in His very presence. Now we find him warming himself by the world's fire. Verse 18. And the servants and officers stood there who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves. And this phrase really struck me as I was studying this. And Peter stood with them and warmed himself. And Peter stood with them. Where are you going to stand? with the world of the ungodly. The world of the atheist. The world of the deceiver. The world of the liar. The world of those who deny the truth of Scripture. Are you going to stand with them? Are you going to stand with the Lord Jesus Christ? It was a cold evening, and the servants and the officers had made a fire of coals to keep warm. And I think Peter's spiritual condition is implied here. He was following the Lord afar off. He disregarded His warning. And now his heart was cold. He was so out of fellowship with God that he stood with the wicked, the ungodly, and warmed himself by the world's fire. Complete opposite of the blessed man. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Complete opposite of the blessed man to Peter the denier. Imagine how miserable Peter must have been as he stood with those who hated the Lord. He was attempting to conceal his true identity as one of the Lord's followers. And in order to do so, he had to have fellowship with the ungodly. First, Peter lied about his relationship with the Lord. Then he's found in the company of the ungodly. And in another gospel, it is said that he cursed. This is ever the downward course of the backslider in heart who's out of fellowship with God. Now, I don't believe Peter lost his salvation in no way, shape, or form. But I tell you, he was out of fellowship, and it wasn't until the Lord looked upon him and corrected him. It says he went out and wept bitterly. I've always thought, what a contrast between Peter's repentance, and we'll get to that in another sermon, his repentance and his reaction to the Lord dealing with him. He repented. He went out and wept bitterly. When Judas Iscariot went and threw the 30 pieces of silver back at the feet of those who had given it to him, I think he was troubled about his betrayal and his selling out of Jesus Christ. But instead of repenting, he went out and hung himself, killed himself. This example that we have in Scripture of Peter denying the Lord ought to put a measure of fear in our hearts. Caution. It's a cautionary tale. Because of someone that strong, someone that close, he was one of the inner three. He was there at the Transfiguration, the Mount of Transfiguration. If he can deny the Lord, you better be on guard. I think we're in for some troublesome times. And I pray that God will give us all grace to be faithful to our Lord in the face of every danger and difficulty and the hatred of this world. May we be found standing for our Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to stop there tonight, and we're going to look at Peter's, some more of his denial in conclusion next Sunday night, God willing.